And we're going to be talking about PGRs and PGR drenches and how they control the growth and flowering of potted Euchomys leia. So a little bit of background information about Euchomys. It's a relatively new introduction to the floriculture market. The common name is pineapple lily, even though it's neither a pineapple nor a lily. But it comes from how the inflorescence looks, especially the young ones. They really do look like little tiny pineapples because of the bracts at the top and then the flowers underneath it. It is a bulb. You can see in the photo here some of the bulbs, and it is perennial. There are about 15 species in the genus Euchomys. There's a lot of breeders working, making hybrids of these for landscape plants and cut flowers. We've done a lot of work at NC State about using them as cut flowers. Burgundy, the Euchomys in the photo there, it's one of the most known Euchomys that's used in the landscape and also as a cut. So, you know, looking at Euchomys in pots for potted production, a little bit about its growth habits. High light levels promote naturally compact and sturdy plants. This particular cultivar that we used, leia, was bred to be four pots, so it naturally has a smaller size as compared to sparkling burgundy in the previous photo that can come up to my hip. Plant growth regulators, you know, may be necessary if pineapple lily is produced during the low light levels of the winter months. You know, so for Mother's Day sales or even Valentine's Day sales, and then under shade in high temperatures. So PGRs maybe need to be used then. And then also for other cultivars like sparkling burgundy that are naturally taller, the PGRs could be used to make that more compact for a potted plant. So the objective of these studies was to determine the effectiveness of three different PGRs, fluoroprimidol, uniconazole, and paclobutrazole, at five different concentrations on the growth and flowering of leia, pineapple lily. So here's our experimental design. Like I said, we used three different PGRs and five different concentrations, ranging from 0.25 to 4 milligrams active ingredient, and these were in 6.5-inch pots. We also had untreated control, and this resulted in a 3x5 factorial complete randomized design. We had 8 replications, and a replication was a pot with one bulb in it per treatment. These were greenhouse forced at a 75 Fahrenheit night-day temperatures, and we drenched these at emergence. So when they were about 5 centimeters in height was when we applied our drenches. So the data that we collected was days to visible bud. So this was when the top bracts of the inflorescence were visible inside the rosette of the plant. And days to anthesis. So anthesis was when the first row of florets opened. And then at anthesis, we took foliage height, plant diameter, inflorescence height and caliper, and then the number of inflorescences per plant, and the number of marketable plants. So we defined a marketable plant as actually reaching anthesis, with flowers and foliage that were at least 20 centimeters tall, and ones that weren't, where the flowers weren't falling over, and with no flower or foliage abnormalities. So the photo on the left shows an example of a marketable leia plant. Our statistical analysis, we used analysis of variance and the general linear models. We used Tukey's multiple comparison to separate our means with SAS, and then the relationships between parameters were fitted to linear and nonlinear regression models using Microsoft Excel. So into our results. In general, for all of the PGRs that we used, as the concentration increased, plant height was shorter, plants were more compact, but also the days to anthesis increased. So we got the control that we wanted. The PGRs were actually effective, but we did see an increase in days to anthesis, which has obvious problems to growers. The days to visible bud, so when we could actually see the flower forming, was not affected, and thankfully no phytotoxicities were observed for any of the PGRs. So in the photo on the right, you can see a photo series of the fluoroprimidol treatment. So we got the most control using fluoroprimidol. So even at that lowest concentration, we had a significant decrease in plant height. And then the two highest concentrations, 2 and 4 milligrams active ingredient, actually produced no marketable plants. The inflorescences were kind of smushed down into the plant. They didn't fully elongate and actually look like a pineapple lily. They were really tucked down in there. So it was those two rates I would not suggest using. Here's a graph of foliage height for as the concentration increased, foliage height decreased. So we have all three of the PGRs here, and you can see with the fluoroprimidol, it was the greatest decrease in height, and paclobutrazol and uniconazol were fairly similar in their control. We saw similar trends for the inflorescence height and the plant diameter. Looking at uniconazol specifically, you can see in the photo series there all the different treatments. The lowest concentration controlled foliage and inflorescence height by 25% from the control, so that's a good level of control for this plant, nice marketability. And the highest rate, again, resulted in excessive stunting and zero marketable plants. Looking at the days to anthesis from planting, as I mentioned earlier, as the concentration increased, the days to anthesis increased. So for uniconazole, the production time was only extended by about 4 days from the control. So depending on the grower, that may or may not be a problem if they, factor that into their production time. But for the lowest concentration of the PGR, but that 0.25 milligrams also increased the percent of marketable plants by 12%. The difference wasn't statistically significant, but for a grower, a 12% increase in marketable plants would be of interest to them. For paclobutrazol, the lowest concentration, the 0.5 milligrams, controlled foliage and inflorescence height by 23% and 15% from the control, respectively. So it was, slightly less control than the previous PGR, and the inflorescences were a little less controlled from the previous PGR as well. But then again, the 4 and the 8 milligrams active ingredient resulted in excessive stunting, again, where the flowers didn't get tall enough to actually be seen. And looking at the days to anthesis from planting and the percent marketable plants, the lowest concentration extended production time by 10 days from the control, so that's 6 more days from the previous PGR, but it increased the percent of marketable plants by 25% from the control. So some, discussion about PGRs. So there's always, some pros and cons with using plant growth regulators. So the positives are, plant height requirements are met. You can get those plants into the carts that they need to be shipped on, and the more you can fit, the more you can ship, the more money that you can make. Increasing the number of marketable plants, that's great. You're effectively using your space, you're getting more product that you can sell. Production in low light conditions, like I said, these plants could be ready for, Mother's Day and Valentine's Day for unique times to sell plants. possible post-harvest benefits, which I'll touch on in the next slide. In low-light retail environments, the PGRs could be helpful in reducing stretch. But there are some negatives. So the cost of the PGRs, they're not cheap. The cost of labor to apply the PGR, increased production time, so talking about space costs here, so that's why the time to anthesis extension may be problematic if a grower doesn't have the space for that. And then also, costly mistakes. If someone mixes something incorrectly, those application mistakes can be very costly. So looking at the production time and the increase in marketability for the lowest concentration for each of the PGRs, you want to choose the lowest effective concentration because why waste the PGR? So a grower would have to balance the benefit of the increase in marketable plants with the increase in days to anthesis, with that increase in production time. So recommendations for uniconazole and paclobutrazole would definitely be the two out of the three that would be recommended to use. With the fluoroprimidol, even though there was really good control, it increased the production time by 12 days. And only increase the number of marketable plants by 8. So that balance might be off there for growers. And then, like I said earlier, maybe the application of PGRs may be beneficial to prevent post-harvest stretch in low-light retail environments. As you can see in this, the plant pictured here, this is the control plant. This flower over here is getting kind of leaning. It's getting kind of long. The top's getting kind of heavy. You put that into Walmart in a low-light retail environment, and it's going to stretch more post-harvest, and it's going to flop over, and it's not going to look as good. So the PGRs may have some benefits once the plant actually leaves the grower. So in conclusion, recommended concentrations for each of the PGRs are listed there, and they're photos along the right to see what they look like. And these recommendations were based on the percent of marketable plants, foliage and inflorescence height control, and a non-excessive lengthening of days to anthesis. And with that, I would like to thank the Glorick Nerve Foundation for funding this research, Golden State Bulb Growers for supplying the Euchomys bulbs, and then, of course, my Department of Horticultural Science at NC State, and then our technicians and support, Ingram, Diane, and Blair. All right.